All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Glad to be here with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us today as we open your word. Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, and that you would fill us with your Spirit. And Lord, help us to bring glory to you in all that we say or do. Again, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. I want to open our Bibles this morning to Psalm 23. That's what it is in the Apocrypha. It's 24 in the King James Bible. Verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and its fullness, the world and all who dwell therein. For he founded it upon the seas and prepared it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has innocent hands and a pure heart. He who does not lift up his soul to vanity. He who does not swear deceitfully to his neighbor. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and mercy from the God of his salvation. What I want to talk about this morning, first of all, is I'm going to read Psalm 22 in a minute, but this is who we're talking about. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all who dwell therein. For he founded it upon the sea and prepared it upon the rivers. Then it asks, who shall ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? And then it gives a description here. He who has innocent hands and a pure heart. He who does not lift up his soul to vanity. He who does not swear deceitfully to his neighbor. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. You know, just in reading these verses and reading the Bible, and it's a very simple thing to please the Lord. Sometimes we think it's so difficult that we would ever please the Lord. But it is actually a very simple thing. Usually whenever it gives a description or it asks the question of who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord or who pleases the Lord, it just gives a very short list of things that the man does that pleases the Lord. Whenever Jesus was asked about, you know, who loves the Lord, or how do you know? And breaks it down into two simple things: love God with all your heart, and your neighbor as yourself. We make it so much more difficult than it is to please the Lord. Yeah, there's things that we will change and we will do, but the heart of it is that you love God with all your heart and you love your neighbor as yourself. When you love, it's not that difficult to do. Sometimes the choice is hard because we have to fight with ourselves and fight with our own desires and our own ways, our own religion, our own things, and that causes a conflict, but the heart of the matter is pretty simple. I've just read a few, looking at history. You read obituaries of things, people that have lived long ago, and you read them, and a lot of times they tell all of their accomplishments. But the ones that really are a blessing to me are the ones I've got to be my great-great-grandfather was a doctor. And in his obituary, it talks about him that he was a simple man. He lived his whole life and he never left the county that he was born in. And he was a good man. And it just told that he was always there to be a helping hand. He was a doctor. He would go out all hours. But he was an honest and a good man, summed up his obituary. And it's just such a blessing to whenever you read about that. You know, you read a lot of them and they just tell all about the person. But then you read one once in a while, and read one last night that talked about a man, and he was just a moral, upright man that was honest and of good character. And that was the portrayal, that was his legacy. That's what was left. And that's what lasts in life. And it's just amazing how oftentimes you read the Bible and it gives you these simple things. Just, he who has innocent hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to vanity, does not swear deceitfully to his neighbor, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord. It's just breath. It's encouraging whenever we read things like this or hear things like this. Just being a good man. A lot of times that's looked down upon. But the song we just sang, it said, "My soul has found a resting place." You know, we can take that, and there's a lot of people that are trusting that, but it hasn't altered their life, hasn't changed their life. They can sing that song and just think, "Oh, Jesus has died. He took care of everything. It doesn't matter how I do." Or we can take it that I can have rest in my soul. I can have peace in my soul. My soul has found a resting place in Jesus. Blood and creed and the way he lived. We can find a resting place there. We don't have to worry about what's going on in the world. All the darkness, all the things that are going on. Men calling good evil and evil good. You know, it's just amazing sometimes we hear these things and people say things and it's just completely opposite of the way it really is. People are accusing other people of doing the very thing that they're doing and thoroughly condemning the other person for doing it when they may be completely innocent about it. These things are going on all around us. And yet, my soul has found a resting place in Jesus' blood and creed. The God who created all these things, the God who brought forth this brought everything forth out of the waters. He's created all these people. And that's who we can trust in. That's who we can rest in. I want to read the Psalm 22, or most commonly known as Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, but in this Bible it's in the 22nd. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." There's rest there. You know, we know this, the whole world knows this psalm. One of the most beautiful psalms in the world. And just like everything else, we can quote it. We can find comfort in it sometimes. But do we know it? That's what it's written for. Not just because it's beautiful poetry. Not just because it feels us, makes us feel better in times of trouble. Makes us feel better at a funeral or comforts us. That's not what it's for. The purpose of this verse is so that you can know this. In everyday life, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You know, we think of a beautiful scene where everything is at calm and at peace in the world. But that's not who it's written to. This is written to people who are living in a world of turmoil and a world of trial. Things going wrong their whole lives crushed before them sometimes. Things bad, pain and suffering all around us. And yet, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That calmness is something that's within. That green pasture, the still waters, the beautiful places that we love to see and long for to go to. They can be right in our heart. Right in the middle of the dirtiest city, the dirtiest thing, the wickedest thing all around us happening. We can still be resting beside still waters, laying down in green pastures. He restores my soul. What a blessing. He restores my soul. People are searching for all kinds of things in the world to satisfy their souls. And yet, when the Lord is our shepherd, and we know it, we can rest in these places. Our soul is restored. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Like I said, this is not something that's... It's nice. It's beautiful poetry. It's wonderful. But that's not the goal here. The goal is for us to know these things. Things going on around us. People panicking in fear, scared to death to do anything. That's the way the devil operates. That's the way he runs things. My thought this morning was, the Lord is my shepherd. Preached a message a few years ago that Jesus is a shepherd, not a sheepdog. You know, if you think about a shepherd, that's what Jesus is. Looking after His flock, protecting His flock, guarding His flock, letting them just run on an open range, just watching over them. When they get strayed away, He sometimes needs to bring them back. Not because He's just trying to control them, but because there's a wolf out there somewhere, or a danger somewhere. He's a shepherd. He's watching over us. He lets us go up the hill and eat the grass. But there's safety in staying pretty near the flock. There's safety in just being within the eye of the shepherd. You start getting out past. You start getting away, and we begin to get in danger. The Lord is a shepherd. He's not a sheepdog. We think of a sheepdog or a cattle dog. They're just always trying to get around, just looking for an opportunity to nip a nose or nip a heel. To bring everything, just force everything into its own place where it wants it to go. The opposite of a shepherd that's just guiding and leading. A sheepdog is trying to manage everything and control everything and to bring it right into order. That's how we see a shepherd. That's how we see Jesus. So many churches, so many groups, the pastor is more like a cattle dog than a shepherd. Just making sure everybody lives within a certain set of rules and ready just to nip at anybody's heels that gets out of line. That's not the way the Lord operates. What we need to learn and as we study and as we learn and as we grow, look at these things. And you can see the pattern of the Lord and how the devil operates in everything in our lives. Is this the manner of the Lord, or is this the manner of Satan? In our families, being a father, we're to be shepherds, not just sheepdogs. Sure, sometimes children need corrected. But if you're being a proper shepherd and doing what you're supposed to be doing, you might be able to just to sit down and work things out instead of just beating them all the time. If you'll spend the time that you need to, training, teaching, showing, letting them make mistakes along the way, you can guide them like a shepherd. But if you just got 5 minutes a day to mess with them, and you come in and they mess up, well, you're going to spend that whole time just beating them, because they're not meeting what you think they ought to be. What image do you see there? Which one is closer to the Lord's way and closer to Satan's way? You see what I mean by how this all balances out? And whenever you begin to see the Lord and who He really is, it transforms into everything in life. That there's a pattern. This is the way Satan does it. This is the way the Lord does it. That's how we begin to know the Lord. Because He shows up in everyday life. Not just at church, but in everyday life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. We've learned who He is, how He operates, and we can know that He's with us because we can see Him in all these things. I'm not talking some super spiritual revelation or some super hyper emotional thing, but when we really learn to know God, we can know Him in all these ways. Thou art with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Your cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to the end of my days. Whenever we know and we trust, whenever we can experience the peace and the rest, all these other things just fall into place. When we are what we need to be, that's all the Lord requires of us. What does the Lord require of you? That you love mercy and do good. It's a whole verse there, but it's summed up in one verse. Going along with that idea of, it doesn't need a lot of fanfare. You don't need a lot of fanfare. You don't need a lot of trim. You don't need a lot of things on the outside to please the Lord. When we trust in the Lord, we've got all we need. We can rest. We don't have to get caught up in the fear that's going on all around us. we got to be careful that we see those caught up in those fears and we don't think they're just stupid or it's ridiculous or we're smarter than all of that. Our rest and only rest comes because of the Lord, not of anything that we've done. We've not accomplished one thing on our own to set us above anyone else. Our faith is simply found a resting place. Our faith has found someone to trust in, higher than ourselves. And that's so simple and so easy. And yet, so few people find it. It's such a blessing that we have a shepherd. And that we can follow the shepherd and we can be like the shepherd. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Prayer seems as simple as you described. I'm not good at trying to get all that doctrine stuff figured out, but just to understand that it's just simple and just do the simple stuff. But I appreciate it.
Praise the Lord.
I'm reminded of the goodness of the Lord, and you're all bringing us meals and effort and love to us over the baby. Evidence of this,
look,
the smile and kindness of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Angels, holy,
pray.
Oh, Jesus.